Hello.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Get Organized for Life podcast series, where we talk about organization, time management, and workplace productivity, all served up in small bites because we know you're busy. I'm your host, Pat DePalma, productivity and organization specialist and owner of Organized for Life in Wilmington, Delaware. So today I'm super excited to have Jen Wallace Rowe, Senior Move Manager and owner of Helping Hands Professional Organizing Services, as my guest. Jen works with seniors in transition and their families, offering a full array of move management and organizing services. So Jen, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I'm really happy to be here.
So when Jen contacted me last month to have lunch, you know, just to get acquainted, to get to know each other, she didn't realize that we had met once before. But I did. When Jen's son and my daughter were in sixth grade, we were part of a group that was painting backdrops for a sixth grade dance. And Jen had this thick binder with her, and on break, she would work really intently on whatever was in it. So being curious, of course, I had to know what she was doing. And she told me that she was working on her new business as a professional organizer. At that point in time, I had never heard of a professional organizer before, and I was intrigued. So it took me over 10 more years to join the profession, but the seed was planted way back when. So thank you for that, Jen.
I'm glad you got started that way. That's great.
So how did you get started as a senior move manager? You know, what drew you to the profession?
I would have to say it was probably, the seed was planted when my husband's elderly uncle, Uncle Theron, who was living in Miami Beach, decided to move in with us. This was 2001, I believe. And my husband's cousin and I went down to help him organize, and it took us about a week and a half. And what I realized is that even in his tiny bungalow in Miami, there was a lot to do to get organized. The weather was terrible. It was very hot and humid in August, so Uncle Theron was not feeling so well. But thank God his mental capacities were there, because he helped us sort out all of his financial papers, all of his bank account papers. He also donated his deceased wife's teacup collection to all of his nieces. So we packed those up and sent them out to people, and just donated most of his things to charity. So I realized that even though I was already doing some of the professional organizing work, I was really drawn to seniors because they are usually moving at a very vulnerable time in their lives, and they do need help. And so I've never looked back.
That's amazing. Awesome. So what does a senior move manager do? What kinds of things do you help people with?
Just like you with your professional organizing, Pat, we do whatever our clients need us to do. Often that involves helping them create an inventory of their household goods so that they can figure out what will fit into their next home, be it a retirement community or if they're moving in with one of their adult children. We need to measure the space that they're moving into, and we also need to measure all the furniture they want to take with them. A big part of our work, once we've gotten our clients moved and settled, is figuring out what to do with the rest of the stuff.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest challenge, because first of all, most seniors are very attached to their things. They've had them for half a century or more, and they have a lot of stuff. And the final blow is usually realizing that their things are not of much value to most people in the buying market these days, as you find all the time with your clients as well, I'm
right,
sure.
Right, unless, you know, and their children or their children's children really don't want almost anything from it. The young people today seem to be a little more minimalistic than many of us boomers were growing up. Or through our lives. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing that you didn't point out, but I think is really huge that you do that I do not do, is that you manage the move itself, right? You deal with the movers and all of that.
Yes. We will help interview the movers. We will often bring the movers in and be there when they do their estimates. We use our household inventories often to send to the movers, which they love, because then they can do their estimates more accurately and determine what size truck to bring. And we also tell them about the community, whether it's a high rise or whether there are elevators that they have to deal with, and they really appreciate that.
Yeah, I would bet. Awesome. So I know you talked about seniors moving at a vulnerable time in their lives. So the way I see it, there are different types of senior moves, right? So there are the seniors who are kind of more proactive, who might be just moving to a smaller home or an apartment, but like a private home.
Right.
And then others who are moving to more of a senior-specific community, like assisted living, nursing care, and all of that. So do you see more than one type of those moves more than another? Like, who's your typical client?
I would say, surprisingly, and you're right, seniors is such a broad spectrum. Yeah. I'm a senior. Really, anyone
over... We're not talking about that right now.
Oh, sorry. Anyone over the age of 60, you know, can be referred to as a senior, but most of my clients are older than 80, and younger than 100.
Wow, okay.
Which is amazing. They're resilient, they're youthful, they're self-motivated, they're independent. They may just be considering moving to a retirement community in their mid-80s, which is unbelievable.
Right.
But they're healthy, and they've lived in their home as long as they can. But the downside to that is that there are almost always health issues involved with a move. And the worst case scenario that I often deal with is a senior who has had a fall, they've broken a hip, they've gone to the hospital and they're finished rehab, and the social worker has said, you really can't go back to your own home, your
right.
bedroom's on the second floor, et cetera, et cetera. So it's more of an emergency move, and that's The worst kind. Yeah, as you know, it's
yeah.
just bad for everybody. It's bad for the family. It's very bad for the client. It means they can't make the decisions in a leisurely fashion about the things they want to take. And so my mantra is pretty much do it now, do it now, do it now.
Right.
When you're in control and can make your decisions about what you want and where you want to go on your own.
Right. And unfortunately, that still doesn't seem to happen that much. I think the minimalism movement is starting to percolate through some of those people, or hearing more about professional organizers, you know, Marie Kondo, of course, taking mm-hmm. over the world. And and people are starting to maybe get that message a little bit, that the best time to do this is when you have time to do this, because it is a lot of processing, like you said, right? You know,
absolutely.
I've had my stuff for 50 years and it's really important to me, and how can nobody want it, and how can I not sell it, and how can I decide what to get rid of, right? So you're better off doing that when you can take a year or whatever to do it, rather than waiting until you have, you know, some sort of time constraint,
crisis,
some kind
or
of crisis.
Something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think younger seniors, I use myself as an example. Our children have all moved out and are living far away in very small apartments in very expensive cities, and they want nothing.
They want nothing.
They yep. really want nothing. So it's almost easier, I think, for us than it was perhaps for our parents, because it's a clear black and white. Our children really don't want our stuff. No matter how much we think they should want our stuff instead of that, you know, IKEA bureau.
They don't always want their own stuff.
That's true.
Ask me what I still have in my house.
We're storing their
yes.
stuff, too. That is so true. But, yeah, I remember when my parents, they downsized 2 or 3 times. And it always felt like a guilt trip that my parents were trying to get us to take the things that they treasured. And yet, the things that we really wanted, and this is part of why I stress the importance of doing this sooner versus later, what I really wanted were some small sentimental things from my grandparents or my parents that reminded me of them. One was a Toby mug that my grandmother used to put sugar cubes in, and we'd go down to the neighbor's farm and give sugar cubes to the horses. Well, that reminds me of them every time I look at it. But we didn't want their breakfront dining room set. We were already in our 40s by the time our parents were downsizing. So I think it's going to be easier, as you say, this minimalist movement and younger generations not wanting their parents' things, but hopefully their parents starting to purge and downsize in their 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s before it's a crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, I know when my mom died, you know, my father had died years before. And and like you, I just wanted, you know, this one little tea set and this one ring and this one, because I had my own house, right? I don't need any furniture. I don't have any room for any more furniture. Yep. And, you know, a lot of it did go to children who were the older kids who were in college or getting their first apartment. So they were all grateful for it. But, you know, a lot of times it doesn't fall that way people's lives.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That's why doing it early. And, you know, I try to convince my, or not convince, but discuss with my older clients, if you went through every room of your house and made a little list of your real treasures, and I don't mean the Ming vases and the diamond tiaras, I mean the, this is the dish that Grandmother Ellen brought over with her from Poland, and I've had it to keep my safety pins in for 60 years, and it means a lot to me. Or that chair over there your grandfather repaired when they lived in their five-story walk-up in Brooklyn, and I nursed my babies in that chair.
Yeah.
Those are the things that when our clients have their mental capacities and their physical capacities intact, they can write that information down and share with their children and their grandchildren, because then, God forbid, if an injury or illness happens or dementia, then their children have a record of the things that meant something to their parents and grandparents, and it allays a lot of the guilt that they have, saying, oh gosh, where was that bowl that grandmother told us about, you know, had come from Poland,
which mom told us.
Yeah. And if they write it down, it's a treasure for their children to have that information. And then it really releases them of the guilt over parting with the other things that they don't have room for.
Yeah, right. The stories are what's really important. The stories are the memories, and that's what's the treasure, really, more than the item.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you see a lot of people who have tried to do this on their own first and then found it to be too overwhelming, or do more clients kind of come to you right from the start?
I wish that were the case.
Right?
No, they don't usually. They don't usually start early. And again, that is my mantra. But a lot of this can be done with family members or friends. Absolutely. What I try to encourage people to do is to take a household inventory, which can be done on a simple Excel spreadsheet with an iPad, and elicit the help of your grandchildren. And when they're visiting you for a couple of hours, say, listen, I'm doing a household inventory. Will you help me type the descriptions in that I give you and help me measure my furniture? And help me take some pictures that I can share with the family on Dropbox down the road. And if you break it into little chunks like that, within a few hours, you'll have a household inventory done that you can then share with your family or friends, whoever you determine, and say, listen, I'm thinking about moving in a few years, and I don't know what I'll be taking with me, but I'd love to know what you love.
You know, I think that's actually a better way, because, you know, sometimes what you do with your kids, or what do you want when, you know, when I'm dead, right? And nobody wants to answer that question. So maybe phrasing it as, what would you like if I need to part with it when I downsize, is a better way of approaching it.
It seems to be. It's not as finite. And also, I open it up that once the inventory is done, they invite their children and grandchildren to express interest in everything that they like. And it doesn't matter whether I'm taking it to my next community or not, because someday I won't be here.
Right.
And if I've taken that chair that my granddaughter lovingly said, oh, Grandma, I remember you sewing in that chair. I love that chair. Then even if it moves with me to the retirement community, then when I have passed on, my children, that granddaughter's mother and father, have an idea of who might want those things.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's a much more positive way of approaching it rather than, as you say,
ask me now before I'm dead.
Well, right. I'm doing my will and I want to do the codicil, right? And I want to know, you know, do you want anything at all? And they don't want to think about that.
No.
They don't want to go there at all. So
no, you're right. You're right.
That's so true. That's so true. Now, they might not pick anything. But you can't be upset about that either.
Well, and that's really hard, right? I mean, when my mother died, it was, there were a lot of, like I said, not teenagerish, early 20s kids that took a lot of the stuff. But I had some siblings who kind of felt like everything pretty much needed to go to someone. And it did happen that way in a lot of cases. But, you know, there's going to be things that just nobody can use.
Absolutely.
Nobody has room for. So,
and the charities, I mean, there's so many charities that need things. And I try to express to my clients, if you've loved something for that many years, chances are very good that there's someone out there that would never be able to purchase this in a retail store that would love your piece of furniture for another 50 years. So that makes it a little easier, I think, sometimes. I do caution that when picking charities to donate things to, you keep it simple and not try to figure out every little item going to a different charity. You know, pick two or three that you know are wonderful and resourceful and will come pick things up, and let them do the hard work. Let them figure out the right clients for the right things, because that's what they do best. And it will really make you crazy to try to figure out every little thing going to a separate charity.
Oh, and I see that too, right? Like, what is the perfect place for each thing? And what that does is you end up not being able to actually move the things out of your house because you're too busy, you know, spending all this time trying to find the perfect charity. You know,
absolutely.
There are certain things, you know, furniture, Habitat Restore, you know, there are really good places for many things, and they will take the rest, and they know what to do with it, like you say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let them do their job.
So I was curious, you know, so baby boomers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, either at or nearing retirement, and there's a lot of talk out there now about aging in place, right? All these accommodations, things that you can have done to your home to keep you in there longer. So has that changed what you've seen? I mean, you've been in business for, what, 16 years, right? So are you seeing, it sounded like you are seeing maybe seniors moving later. You were saying you don't see them till they're 80. So, like, has that had an effect on how long seniors are waiting to move?
Well, that's a great question, Pat, because I think, here's what I'm seeing. The generation that I work with, who are in their, they're the last of the World War II veterans and their families.
Yeah.
And by the time I retire, that generation sadly will be gone. I see the next generation, the people in their 60s and 70s, downsizing a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And usually downsizing two or three times. They'll leave the big house after the kids leave to get married. They might move to a smaller house, then they might move to a condo, and then they say, well, I want to move to a retirement community, but to an independent apartment or cottage, not to assisted living or nursing care. So they're making those decisions much earlier and more readily. So by the time they're moving to a much smaller place, they know how to do it.
They've done it already. That's interesting.
So, yeah, I do think that the business is going to get easier for that reason, for our clients and for us, because our clients know what that downsizing feels like at an earlier age.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Not the answer I expected. So, interesting. So, you know, all moves are stressful, right? You know, there's a lot of moving parts and all that. Do you see considerations that are really unique to senior moves? Like, what are the most challenging aspects of a senior move that you see?
Oh, good question. Well, and I'm sure you get this a lot as a professional organizer. The difference from my standpoint between organizing someone's home and downsizing someone is that it's not about finding more space for the things you have and organizing them properly so you can get to them when you need them. That's always a factor. It's about the emotional parting with usually 50 to 60 to 70% of your things.
Right, right. At least. I've seen, you know, people move from, what, a 2,500 or more mm-hmm. square foot home to a 550 square foot, you know, apartment as such in a senior living facility or something. That's probably like 90% of
it can be. If they do the move right from their big home mm-hmm. to the one-bedroom apartment at a retirement community, yes, it is a huge distillation of their things. Again, with this next generation doing it two or three times, it's a little less jarring each time, but it's still a significant change. It's never less than usually half of their things each move. So that is a big challenge, figuring out what you want, what you love, maybe even being open to, and this seems counterintuitive, purchasing a few new pieces that work well in your new space. You know, buying that lovely IKEA cabinet, which doesn't match your dining room suit, but will fit all of your beautiful decorative things and some extras in the cabinets below. That's one factor that you're really parting with a lot of things. The other big thing for seniors is the safety aspect of it. And our seniors all want to take way too much stuff with them, including all their throw rugs and their pointy-edged furniture. And they need to be preparing for the next step because inevitably someone in the household is either going to be using a walker or a wheelchair, which means you can't.
Always?
Well, not always, but almost always. They need more space to get around. They need to be able to reach things more easily. So that gorgeous custom design California closet that has two rods for hanging things and shelves to the ceiling will be all but inaccessible to my 89-year-old who can't reach more than a foot above her head.
Right.
So those are considerations you have to take into place. Color is very important, and making things clear and well-marked so that they can see them as their eyesight starts to fail is a big factor. Not having everything a monochromatic tan color, which ironically a lot of the communities you go into, you think, this was not designed for seniors in mine. Everything looks exactly the same.
So I never thought of that.
Putting pops of color in places that give them a little orientation, especially as they're getting used to their new apartment. I use a lot of labels, and even if they're only temporary because they want them, you know, to look more aesthetically pleasing down the road, I try to get them to agree to let us do labeling early on and then say, you know, once you remember where we've stored, because they're not going to be able to store everything in the rooms they're meant for, such as their kitchen or their living room. They may have dishes stored in a cabinet in their bedroom. I mean, you have to think pretty creatively when you get into these communities to store the things you really want to keep. And so labeling becomes a really important thing for seniors.
Right. Yeah. Right. Anybody, right? When you're used to everything being in the same place for 50 years or whatever, when it's all new, it's going to take you some time to get used to where on earth that is now, right? In my new life, where is that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, as you've said, there are plenty of people who, seniors and their families, who undertake these moves on their own. Mm-hmm. So what kind of tips can you give them? I mean, you've already given a lot of great information and tips. Is there anything else you can think of that can help them make that whole, the move, the downsizing, the whole move part go more smoothly?
Probably, again, to start early.
Start early.
I would really urge families to do a household inventory. And to take pictures along with the inventory that they can share with their families down the road. This becomes a great tool for the movers. It also, we haven't talked much about what happens after they leave their house, but it is also quite helpful in figuring out where the heck the rest of the stuff is going to go, whether it's going to be sold at an auction, whether it's going to be picked up by a charity, or whether it's going to, unfortunately, be thrown away. And doing the household inventory early makes that process a lot easier once they've moved. So I would urge people to try to do an inventory, take some pictures, share with your family the things that are of most valuable to your heart. not necessarily so they keep them, but so they hear your stories and they honor your history.
Right.
And then ask for help when you need it. I mean, most of my seniors have amazing friends that are just waiting to help. They say, Mary, I know you're moving in 6 months. What can I do? I can come over Saturday morning. And to that end, I have my clients do something called a task worksheet, which anyone can do on a spreadsheet. It basically lists all your rooms down the left-hand column, and it lists the tasks that have to be done in each room, such as clean out the closet, gather all the photographs, sort the papers, that kind of thing. And they will see, my clients see, how many tasks have to be done. And more importantly, when people come to help, family or friends, they can say, Mary, I've got 2 hours Saturday morning. What would you like help with? And you can say, you pick. Do you want to help me?
Oh, right, pick from the list.
Yeah. Do you want to help me sort my clothes and figure out what I'm going to take and what I haven't worn in years? Or would you rather do the china and figure out what I'm going to take and not take and then assign the things you're not taking to hopefully a place in the house, like a guest room that you don't use too often, so that it's there for your family to look at when they're there and see if they want it, or it can be held until you have an estate sale or the donation venue picks it up. So that those are two tools, the inventory and the task worksheet, which any family can do, and then they can start peeling away at these tasks and get a real sense of accomplishment when they take little bites and eventually get the whole task finished.
Right, right. Great advice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is looking to hire a senior move manager, you know, do you have any advice for them? You know, what kind of things should they look for? What kind of questions should they ask?
Good question. Well, first I would tell them to go to my National Association's website called NASM, which stands for National Association of Senior Move Managers. It's org or .com. I should know that. I apologize.
I feel like it's a .org, but I don't.
Is it?
I think it is.
And they can find an organizer by putting in their zip code, and they'll get a list of organizers by distance. But they can also get great resources there for how to tackle this project of downsizing, including questions to ask of senior move manager that they're thinking about hiring. You certainly want to find out about their background and experience. You want to make sure they are insured. NASM requires that we carry general liability insurance, and I would add that you might want to have them have workers' compensation insurance if they're going to bring workers in to help you towards when you get closer to the move to pack and unpack. I don't think it's really as important to have years of service as it is to find a fit. And
right.
As with your work, I mean, so often it's the fit that counts for productivity. And if I always go and visit my clients beforehand, because this is a very personal, very intimate process that they're going through. And if they're not comfortable with me being in their home and I don't feel I can help them, I'll refer them to someone else.
Right.
I'd rather them find the right senior move manager than try to push forward and have them be uncomfortable with the process.
Right, exactly. It's like that for any kind of profession like organizing.
Yes.
where you kind of become friends with your clients, so you need to have some sort of rapport, some sort of connection.
Absolutely.
Or you're better off just referring to someone else.
Absolutely.
Well, that was so much information. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we close that would be helpful? Yeah, I mean, we've covered a lot, so I don't know if there's anything left that you want to add.
Probably just to ask for help.
Yeah.
You don't have to commit, just like with organizing. And I reviewed a number of your podcasts before I came in, and we're all in this together.
Right.
Like the resources that you bring to your podcasts, the people that you bring are there to make our lives easier. So just like we hire people to wash our windows or to mow our lawn, I think it's great to have an open mind about bringing in people who have the skill set to make your life easier. Do what you can, but don't feel like you have to do it all, and ask for help when you need it. Awesome. And that'll make your move go a lot smoother.
Awesome. That's perfect. Thank you. So, wow. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this expertise with us. I mean, it has been such a pleasure to talk with you and to learn from you.
Thank you, Pat. I was very nervous and you made
it. I know you were. I'm like, this isn't going to be that bad. Trust me. So how can our listeners who might want to find out more about you and your service, you know, and how you might help them, how can they reach you?
Oh, sure. They can email me, they can call me, they can go to my website. My telephone number is 302-388-2551. My website is helpinghandspro.com. And they can email me at Jen, which is G-E-N, at helpinghandspro.com.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
So you've been listening to the Get Organized for Life podcast with productivity and organization specialist Pat DePalma, today with special guest Jen Wallace Rowe. So thank you all so much for joining us. And as always, if you have comments, questions, or topics you'd like us to talk about, please send them to podcast@organizedforlifedelaware.com, and we will do our best to address them on the air. And if you are ready and motivated to get more organized and productive, but you aren't making progress, it's too overwhelming to do alone, you don't know what to do, or even just where to start, you can learn more about how I can help you by visiting organizedforlifedelaware.com or calling 844-ORG-4-LIFE. That's 844-674-4543. Thanks again for listening, and have a productive day.